Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Do you like what you're hearing right now? Then be sure to check out VOC Nation. Whether it's on VOCNation.com or your favorite podcast provider, VOC Nation offers the greatest in live and on-demand content, great interviews, and incredible insight from those who have lived the business. 7 days a week, VOCNation.com. And don't forget to check us out on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Hey, this is Earl Heaven. I'm in the room with Katie, Stroh, and Kathy. What a night it was. Up and down, in and out. Damn right it was. Damn right I did go there. In the room. I was there.
Wrestling Network at VOCNation.com. Brady Hicks here, and I'm really excited to talk with all of you guys. I think we're going to have a good time tonight. I can feel it, you know. We were talking about topics earlier, and just all this stuff going on. So, yeah, that's where we are tonight. Anyway, Brady Hicks here. As always, the lovely Kathy Fitz. What's going on, Kathy?
Hey, Brady, how you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. You know, I mean, I'm a little tired. I'm all right. Can't complain.
Know that feeling.
Nobody listens when you complain anyway.
True.
Matt Grimm with us once again. What's going on, Matt?
Here we are again, Brady.
Here we are.
About some of the same stuff that we, that we talk about all the time.
Right, but we're going to keep it positive, just like every other time. So
sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Positivity.
Speaking of positivity, Howard Morgan. What's going on, Howard? Well, that was positive. Resounding. So anyway, if you guys want to call in tonight, the number is CallVOC. Just visit callvoc.com from the incognito browser on your phone, your tablet, your computer. That's the easiest way to get in touch with us here tonight. And, yeah, that's where we are. That's where we are. Now Howard's with us. What's going on, Howard?
There we go. I'm sorry. I didn't realize my microphone was still muted.
That's okay.
I said I am so excited to ring in the new era in pro wrestling. I can hardly contain myself.
Last week?
Yeah, but I think it's going to carry over into this week because it was so exciting.
Oh yeah, it's infectious. It's like COVID.
Oh,
you're gonna end up with it. So, yeah. Anyway. So I came up with a list of stuff tonight that I thought we could talk about. Kind of like quick hits, but not exactly quick hits. You know, certainly some things that I think warrant some discussion. And the big thing for me this week, and Stroh said it perfectly in the chat. I find it hilarious, but it's so true. CM Punk is the biggest star in both companies right now. He literally was the highest rated segment on AEW. Needlessly, yeah. And you say needlessly, Matt. That's the perfect way to put it. There was really no reason for AEW to air that footage.
No.
You know, I mean, it was blatantly obvious that CM Punk caused the fight, at least physically. But what does that really accomplish?
In other news, the sky is blue. You know,
right?
Like everybody knew this already.
It's all stuff that, in fact, it made Tony Khan look even dumber because, like, he acted like his life was in danger. And the truth is, after the first shove, so many people, like, kind of jumped in and pulled them apart. And the only way that Tony Khan was even remotely involved was that off screen, CM Punk got mad and, like, pushed the table or whatever, right? I don't think that really, it didn't feel life threatening like he kind of implied it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, everybody reacts differently to a fight when one breaks out. But, yeah, I mean, it doesn't.
I mean,
I didn't see anything there that would have made me think he had to fear for his life.
I would think if you're running a major company like that, I mean, there have been 3, 4, maybe 5 fights since AEW started. Kind of famous backstage altercations. It happens all the time. You would think he'd be used, and that's just what we know about. I'm sure there are others that haven't gotten out there.
Probably.
You would think. You know? I don't know. It just seems so ho-hum nothing, you know? And even to try and tie it to that storyline like they did between the Bucks and FTR, it's like, it's such a loose connection. It just came apart. It came across as desperate.
It's like, yeah, he teamed with them a few times while they were together in AEW. And
Yeah, well, they were so distraught by the whole thing that they weren't able to win their match. All right, well, I don't know what to tell you. You weren't even there, so I don't know why you were distraught. Yeah, the whole thing just felt silly to me.
Yeah, very, very needless. And, you know, the juice was not worth the squeeze for this.
That's like the third time I've heard this phrase this week. Like, where does that come from?
I've never heard that before.
No, but I've heard it like 3 times this week, and I had never heard it before then. The juice is not worth the squeeze. Is that an OJ joke?
Oh, God, I didn't even think of it that way, but now that
I assume not. Yeah. By the way, props to him. He can finally rest in peace knowing that the killer is dead.
Yeah. there's been about 100 versions of that joke over the past few days.
I know. And they're all pretty amazing. I don't know. Kathy, Howard, what do you... Well, Howard, I'll start with you. What do you think about this with them airing the footage?
I think it was a huge waste of time, a big mistake on AEW's part. Again, you know, to Matt's point, what did it show? It obviously showed kind of what we all suspected. CM Punk started it. I think it made everybody in that was involved right there look weaker than CM Punk. So all you did was fuel CM Punk being tougher than everybody that was there. And you don't even work for you anymore.
When they announced it, I thought for sure one of 3 things was going to happen. Either A, it was just going to be like a hokey reenactment, you know, like the Nacho Man and the Huckster. I thought it might be something like that. Then, like, my second thought was, well, maybe CM Punk really got throttled by it and they just haven't shown that, and it's going to make CM Punk look like stupid because he starts a fight and then he gets beat up. It wasn't that either. Really, nobody looked good coming out of it. And CM Punk's not even really, like, the people that it would affect with the new company don't really care. If anything, it made people who live in a cave and have no idea where CM Punk is, it made them maybe Google him to find out what he's been up to. And I seriously doubt there's anybody that was in that was, you know, that's the case for, but that would be the only reason that it would – the whole thing is stupid. I got nothing, Kathy.
You know, I think it was ridiculous that they aired it. And then did you see the part where Punk was describing it?
Did I see that part? Yeah. I mean, it was basically what he, yeah. Like, okay. So he said he didn't punch him, right? But he somebody may have gotten choked.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he said?
Yeah, exactly. And then Samoa Joe grabbed him and that was it.
Yeah.
You know, why show it? Just makes Khan look bad, in my opinion.
The whole thing looks, yeah. I don't know. I've been trying to think about it, and I don't see how, like, they had to have felt like there was a reason why it was beneficial.
If their idea was ratings? To try to get you to watch AEW more, I think it did just the opposite because I don't want to watch that stuff. Like, yeah. If this is what you're showing, I really don't want any part of it.
It maybe popped like a really quick rating, and then that was it. Like, yeah, I'm sure they had really good ratings last week. Well, comparatively good ratings because obviously they're not pulling what, you know, they're not where WWE is in terms of the ratings. I mean, I guess they're not that far off, but WWE is so diverse in terms of, you know, where they're getting their viewers from, where they're pulling everything from. They're not in the same league.
No, no.
So, again, and I think, I know we've talked about this many times. I know Stroh's talked about it. It's something that's bugged me for a while. Since WCW almost beat WWE, like put them out of business. Since then, I feel like every wrestling company, no matter how far-fetched, their goal is always to beat WWE. And that's a fine goal, but I think from week to week, their focus should be on themselves and putting on the best product that they can.
Yeah.
That's a good rule of thumb.
It's unnecessary for any wrestling company in the United States to feel like they need to find a way to unseat WWE as being number one. Like, first of all, AEW is not even on the same nights as WWE, except for Collision and WWE pay-per-views when they air. So who cares about that? The only thing that they need to do, and like I said this to you earlier in the week, the only thing that AEW needs to be is a viable alternative to WWE for both the fans and for the talent. Because the talent needs a place to work that can pay them well and give them good perks other than WWE. Right. So AEW's existence is good for professional wrestling, and it needs to be healthy. But they don't need to be number one. That's patently unnecessary.
Yeah. I mean, look at TNA. You know, when they were trying to be number one, I mean, they made some strides, but they were nowhere near where they needed to be. And once they learned that and were content being number two, even number three, they're content being number three right now. It's a great spot for them because there is that kind of a wrestling audience out there. You know, it's okay to only get 10,000 buys on a pay-per-view. That's pretty much what TNA has done through most of their existence. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you start counter-programming with, you know, against the big guy that you're never going to be perceived on that level, it just makes you look desperate. And it makes it that there's nothing compelling on your show to watch.
Right.
So.
And, I mean, all of this comes with the caveat that, like, neither one of these companies is perfect. There's good aspects and bad aspects to both shows and to the product that gets aired by everybody.
Yeah.
You know, AEW does certain things better than WWE, which I know too, there's a subset of fans out there who, for some reason, can't handle that idea. But there are. Like, the in-ring product is generally
better. It's very tribal.
It's very tribal. But, and yet, at the same time, how tribal can it really be? Because when you look at WWE's ratings and you look at AEW's ratings, there's a lot of overlap in those two. Now, I don't know exactly, you know, how we would track that. But, like, you're going to tell me that there's not a lot of wrestling fans out there that don't watch Dynamite and SmackDown? Like, come on.
That's just not true. Yeah, I would guess that if they were going head-to-head on Monday or Wednesday night with their two big shows, that both ratings would take a severe hit.
Probably.
And it, yeah. Yeah. I think that's safe to say. And at this point, I think WWE doesn't even worry about the ratings like they used to, because again, there's so many different ways to like pull numbers from, you know, they recently just keep breaking their YouTube record, for example. You know, like Paul Heyman's Hall of Fame speech beat CM Punk at Survivor Series, beat like everything in recent history for WWE. You know, so they're constantly breaking that record. And no, I don't think people watch shows live anymore. I mean, they might, but I think there's a lot of channel surfing. I think there's a lot of DVRing. I think there's a lot of... Howard, you said you watch yours on Hulu, right?
I record it, yeah. In fact, I just watched Raw today. I watched a little bit. I fell asleep watching it last night because, you know, I was going to bed.
Oh, so. It's great for that. Yeah, it's great for that.
And then I watched the rest of it, you know, on and yeah. I watch most of my wrestling that way, Collision and Dynamite and SmackDown. I record them all and then watch them at my leisure.
Kathy, that's my biggest complaint about going to a WWE show live. They don't hand you a remote control to fast forward through stuff.
Trust me, there's times I've almost nodded off and went to sleep.
Oh, yeah. 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 So anyway, and I don't mean to pick on AEW, because I think it's great that they're firing back at WWE for certain things. Like CM Punk did that interview to try and make AEW look bad, right? But that was just one individual thing. It didn't make sense for the entire company to target him like that. The other thing is like Triple H with Will Ospreay, right? So like Ospreay is making these like jokes about Triple H that was like, God, you know, you talk about like tale as old as time. People have been complaining about Triple H sleeping his way to the top with Stephanie McMahon for 25 years now.
It's the worst kept secret out there.
Yeah, it's like, who cares? Who cares? All right, so he sees you as not a grinder because you took a lighter schedule. Well, take the money that you didn't make from WWE and be happier that you're able to make more money with less dates. That's how most people would be. What do you care?
Yeah. I mean,
he didn't bring up your name, but I don't even fault Will Ospreay, because I think there is always like this, like you have this feel like you need to defend yourself, you know, and AEW felt like they needed to defend themselves on multiple fronts. I blame Tony Khan for this, because I think he's the boss. He's the one that decides what goes on TV and what doesn't. The Will Ospreay thing is particularly frustrating for me. Honestly, it's more frustrating than the Punk stuff, because I think the Punk stuff is going to at least lead to Jungle Boy coming back to TV and probably teaming with the Young Bucks. I don't think that this Will Ospreay thing is leading to anything. You named the main star on the other company and said that he slept his way to the top, which everybody knows.
I mean, and you know what, like going back to what you said about like people have an impulse to defend themselves. It's like Triple H may have felt that when he made the comments initially, because there were rumblings on the internet that like there were people within WWE that were upset with him, feeling that he like somehow missed the boat on signing Will Ospreay.
Right.
But at the same time, like, look, if you're a company and you're interviewing somebody for a job, and this person tells you what they want, and you offer them package A, like you got to work 5 days a week, you have to relocate to live closer to this job, X, Y, and Z. This same guy goes and interviews with a different company, and the different company is like, you know what, we can pay you a lot, maybe not quite as much as company A, but we're going to give you these extra perks instead. You only have to work 3 days a week and you don't have to relocate. Any human being in that situation, most people are probably going to go with option B at that point. If the money is comparable and the rest of the perks are better, like, okay, fine. But that's just a business decision. That's not anything that anybody needs to get bent out of shape about. You know, like the need to go out there and say like, well, he didn't want to grind. It's like, well, no, you could have offered him a better package at that point. It's like, it's not 1985 anymore. People don't want to work like that.
It was like taking a shot at a guy unnecessarily, because, like, you know, he chose the best decision. And they wanted him to move to the U.S. from the U.K., All his family's in the UK. He has a kid in the UK. He's got to move to the US just because Triple H thinks it's more important to grind.
Yeah, like if I'm Will Ospreay, in my mind, I'm thinking like, go F yourself. Yeah. Like, no,
but again,
this other company's offering.
But it's okay to think that. I don't think it really had a place on that show.
Yes, but I don't know how much of that was coming from him anyway. You know,
probably
it's like he's
not.
Just a talent. He's got to go out there and say it. But who knows who booked him to say it?
Yeah, like here's my thing. Like people look back on like the Hall and Nash stuff when they jumped over to WCW, and obviously they got this great deal for doing this, and they got. You know, instead of 300 dates a year, they were doing 125 or whatever it was, you know? And like Scott Hall, the famous quote with Scott Hall, Kathy, you remember? He's like, I look around the room and like, you know, I think it was Chief J. Strongbow told him, you can have friends or you can make money.
Yeah.
And Hall goes, I got friends. I'll take the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't blame anybody for taking the money. And honestly, creatively, you know, Eric Bischoff, whatever the creative vision was for what they ended up doing in WCW, even if you had that creative vision in WWE, I think working that many dates and being that stretched, I don't know that they ever could have made that kind of an impact like they did in WCW.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Probably not.
Because they were working every day. You know, they were working 6 days a week back then. Now they're nice enough to let them work four or five.
Now, do you remember that when their last night, when they had that big hugged everybody.
How could I forget?
Oh, my God. It was like, oh, my God, how could he do this? They're friends. Come on, man.
Yeah. I always thought ECW handled it the best, though. They just have the fans going, you sold out the whole time they're out there.
Exactly.
Like, it's the worst kept secret ever. You know? Yeah. Anyway, So my moral of the story, and once again, if you guys want to chime in, it's callvoc.com from the incognito browser, your phone, your tablet, your computer. I saw, like, for example, John was confused by that. He keeps calling the old Blog Talk number. My God, do I have a story for them about them later. They have driven me nuts, but I'm proud to say we're officially done with them. Like, officially. Like, they're not getting any more of our money. Yeah. More on that later. Anyway, what was I saying? Don't get old, Kathy. It sucks.
Dude, I'm older than all of you, okay? So leave me alone.
I forget what I was going to say. Anyway. Yeah. I got nothing. All right. Let's move on. Okay. So anyway, my moral for AEW, I remember now. Stay in your lane. Just be the best AEW you can be. Because, like, most wrestlers are going to go where it's the best money and the best deal. And in many cases, that will be AEW. Unless you're a mark for performing at WrestleMania, there really is no need to worry about it. because essentially everything's the same.
Yeah. That's how I feel. Look at all the high-profile signings they've had. They've had like five since the start of the year that they've beaten WWE on. So why get worked up? Don't take the bait. Like when Triple H or somebody else goes on a podcast or says something in like a post-PLE press conference, like, and he takes like disparaging shots at you, just don't take the bait.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree. So I did also want to talk about the women's division now, because it and I'm talking about WWE. Because Rhea Ripley's had to surrender the title now. She's had it, I think they said, for 380 days. That sounds long, though. I don't think it can be that long. Well, I guess it's more than a year. Yeah, maybe it is 380. It might have been. Anyway, so Rhea Ripley surrenders the title because she got injured. Ironically enough, she really did get injured by Liv Morgan. Not by that vicious chair shot to the head.
Yeah, that was ugly.
It's something. I guess people assume because it's like, you know, it's this 110-pound female, like, she probably didn't hit her as hard as it looked. I'm sure it hurt. There's a chance Rhea was even concussed from it. But really, the issue was her shoulder, I guess, getting jammed into that wall when she got pushed from behind. So, like, literally for the first time ever, an angle where a person's trying to get revenge leads to a real-life revenge scenario where Liv Morgan has now injured Rhea Ripley. She's going to be out for a few months. She may or may not need surgery. But the end, I think, of the best title reign for the women in either company for probably at least 5 years, I would think.
Yeah, not a great scenario for them to find themselves in.
Yeah, like, who do you put in that spot now? I know they have a lot of talent. I mean, if it were me, I would probably put the belt on Liv Morgan.
I mean, she was a bust in her only title reign up to this point.
She'd have to be a heel now.
She'd have to be a heel, and, like, I don't know. I just don't know that I would trust her in that role.
Yeah. Well, who else? I mean, obviously there's other women out there. We were just talking about this last week, like, you know, and I don't know exactly how I feel, but I was saying how, like, I think maybe Becky Lynch might have benefited from that win at WrestleMania more than Rhea Ripley, just because she never gets anything anymore. And it's starting to look like, at least if Becky had won that match, even if it was by cheating or something, you'd have some continuity there. I don't see anyone besides Becky that's like a really totally credible champion on Raw.
I can't even think of who's even on the Raw women's roster aside from her at this point. They've also kind of gotten into that pre-draft scenario where people from
where
both shows
end everywhere.
Up, yeah, everybody just goes wherever they want.
Yep. Yeah, which I never understood, by the way. Like, you know, we make such a big deal about we're splitting the rosters. Well, basically you're restricting people when they had freedom before the draft. It never made sense to me. Maybe realistically what you do, since they want to obviously give her a push anyway, is you have I can't think of her name, that NXT champion, Roxanne Perez. Maybe you put the belt on her. You know, she's already a champion. It might make sense. Beyond that, I don't know.
There's always Jade Cargill you could put it on.
Well, she's on SmackDown. She's one of the people. This is the other thing that gets me. We're talking about like this area of flux before the draft. Tell me, how smart are the agents for Jade Cargill and Bron Breakker? How smart are their agents to have them sign an exclusive deal 2 weeks before the draft?
Does that
mean you're limiting their ability to make money?
Yeah, fire your agents. Seriously.
Fire your agents. Terrible.
And fire yourself for listening to them.
I know. It's bad. It's bad.
Besides, eventually Jade's going to need to do more than like three moves.
She's going to turn on Bianca, I'm sure. Probably after they win the tag team title, because then it won't make as much sense.
I'm wondering if they're going to have Bianca actually turn on her, because Bianca is really the one who's in need of a character refresh at this point.
Yes, she does. She most certainly does. What do you think, Howard?
I just think the whole women's division is a mess. I mean, it seemed like it was trending in the right direction, and then I think it became not any fault of her own, became the Rhea Ripley show, and yeah. She was great, but they didn't have a plan B in case she ever got hurt, which eventually she did.
You know, I can't remember a time, and I was thinking this the other day, I can't remember a time where in like the course of just a week, I went from thinking this is a great women's division. They really should have like a secondary title like they're going to do in NXT. They have enough women that are good enough to have a secondary women's title on each show. I've gone from that to, wow, you really only need one women's world champion. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know how that could be when one person gets hurt that my entire assessment of the division changes that strongly. I mean, you've got Bayley. I don't think you need to name another champion. What I probably would have done was just have Rhea go on the sidelines, still be a presence on TV, which in and of itself is weird. Like she announced she had to surrender the title. And then I guess she left the show. She's not even on Judgment Day anymore. Like, why? You know, half the year she was, like, just on their sideline, not doing anything. Did it really matter if she had an arm cast or not?
Right. It's like, it's not like they were going to perform surgery, like, an hour from then.
Right. Like, as soon as she said goodbye, she left. She wasn't part of anything. And it's like, why? She can still be on the show.
Yeah, she can still be on television. She could be like she's been that glue that holds or is trying to hold a Judgment Day together, that voice of reason, you know. So without her, really the Judgment Day has lost a little bit of its appeal. Like, I think Damian Priest is on his way up and out. What's that leave?
Well, I do want to talk about that, but not yet. Rhea was keeping the Judgment Day afloat and the women's division afloat at the same time. The 30-day rule that we had when we were younger and like the champion had to defend the belt every 30 days, that's long gone. You know, even Rhea hasn't had to follow that. So why not let her keep the title and just bring Bayley over to sometimes defend her belt on Raw until Rhea's better? It's all you got to do.
I mean, what could it be? Probably 6 weeks, 8 weeks, maybe, depending on how severe it is.
That's what I'm thinking. Even if it's surgery, it's probably not going to be more than 3 or 4 months.
You could build a story around her not defending her title for that long, and nobody would bat an eye.
Right. You could have her being a coward that refuses to defend it, and nobody would say anything.
Right.
Because she'd just be like every other champion there, except for Cody. Although, honestly, I haven't seen Cody defend it yet either, so. Yeah. The whole thing is a shame. It's unfortunate. And it hasn't been handled right. And so far, other than the opening bumper, I don't really love this Triple H regime. This new era.
I am still waiting to be impressed.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's bad, but I don't think it's a whole lot better than it was 3 months ago.
I think it's marginally better than the Vince McMahon era, but it's not.
Yeah.
it's not where it should be, especially after, you know, his initial run in NXT, running that around, like, you know, 2014, 2015, maybe up through 2017, 2018, when that was really good. But yeah.
I think the best part of the Triple H regime that I've seen was last night with the debut of the new tag team titles and R-Truth calling him, you know, Ciampa instead of Triple H. I thought that was great. Like, but other than that, it's been underwhelming, to say the least.
Yeah. No, it has. It has. But let's talk about something good that they did, okay? Because this past Friday, so they debuted Tama Tonga. Unfortunately, he came in a week late. He wasn't able to help Roman save his reign. But I'm getting real kind of DX Army vibes from what they're doing with the Bloodline. You know, Solo basically just took the whole thing over. And he's recruiting his own army. And there's a lot of potential there for who he could bring in. It has me excited. It has me curious how Roman and The Rock are going to fall in with all this. Is it going to be a civil war? Is it going to be like, oh, well, Roman said he was leaving if he lost the belt, and Solo was the next tribal chief, so he's calling the shots now. Is it something like that? Paul Heyman didn't seem to have any idea what was going on. I don't know. I just...
He looked scared crapless.
He did. Yeah. It did.
I think if it leads to a civil war, I think this has a tremendous Survivor Series match already built into it.
I agree.
Yeah, but do we really have to wait until Survivor Series to watch this play out?
Yep. They're going to make us wait.
Drag that long.
They're going to make us wait.
So what is it going to be, Roman and the Usos?
And maybe Sammy.
And Sammy. Wow, well, I didn't even think about that.
Why not get Sammy U? Because you might need a 4-on-4 situation.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are other Samoans out there that they can sign.
See, I don't
but
know.
Right now,
I don't know if Tom's brother can come because he's in Japan.
Yeah, and I don't think he was a free agent, so I don't think that works. But if they do it right, Tama can be a verified main eventer. And already Solo has stepped up to that point. You know, I always thought, and this is kind of me, like, do you remember in ECW? I always thought Taz had the easiest job in the world. Because all he had to do was frown, wear a towel over his head, and occasionally yell.
Yeah.
And that was basically his whole thing.
And man, let me tell you, that man can get you scared.
Oh.
And I was a friend of his.
I don't think he would scare me.
Yeah.
I ain't scared of him.
No, what's he going to bite my ankle? Come on.
Right.
Oh, Brady.
Just do like they did in the Tom and Jerry cartoon. I'll just put my hand on his head and he'll just keep swinging. He'll never hit me.
Yeah, I'm only playing. But like,
Taz, I hope you're not listening, brother. I hope you're not listening.
Oh, he hears everything online. He'll be firing off. I know somebody who got blocked by him on Twitter just because he said Taz is a big, I guess, Mets fan, right, Kathy? I think it's the Mets he likes. Or unless it's the Yankees. I think it's the Mets, though. And he got into a fight with somebody on Twitter that I'm friends with because the guy said, well, you wrestled in Philadelphia. You should be a Phillies fan.
Dude, he's not from Philadelphia. Like, why
would
he?
That's what he said.
That's a ridiculous assertion. Like,
right. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Michael Cole trashed the Phillies, you know, on during the WrestleMania broadcast.
Yeah, he should have gotten in trouble for that. I thought they should have fined him.
Yeah, he probably. I mean, talk about.
I'm just kidding.
Jumping back into saying stuff that you shouldn't say. There's one of them, but
Yeah. Yeah. But my whole thing is this, okay? When I look at Solo, I get serious Taz vibes from him. And I always thought, oh, well, he's got the easiest job in the world. He just stands there with his arms folded and everybody makes fun of him. Well, The Rock makes fun of him. Everybody else looks scared to death of him. And he never has to do anything except occasionally jam a thumb in somebody's throat, which I would love to do. That there are people, I have a list of people I would love to jam my thumb into their throat. I would love it, you know, especially taped like that. It'd be so easy. I'm only kidding, Kathy. I wouldn't jam my thumb in anybody's throat. But it looks like he has the easiest job in the world.
I could make a suggestion to who?
Don't tell me Taz.
No, someone lives in Texas. Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't say that about Florida. Maestro.
I'm not talking Maestro.
No. So it looked to me like Solo had the easiest job in the world because he didn't have to do anything. He just had to look angry and fold his arms, just like Taz used to have to do. And then something like Friday night happens, and it was like, damn, he is so much better than I thought he was just because he finally has the chance to be that guy. It was actually really reassuring to me to know that he has that kind of potential because I wasn't really sure that I saw it. I became a Solo fan on Friday night. Or really Monday morning, because that's honestly that's when I watched it. But you get the point. Yeah. Okay. Got nothing. All right. Well, the draft is coming up. Coming up very soon. Anybody that you guys would like to see move somewhere specifically? Aside from, like, Future Endeavors brand?
I mean, it's so hard to say just because you don't know where all the chips are going to fall. You know? Like, I could say, like, move Cody to Raw, but who knows who they're going to move from Raw to SmackDown?
I think Cody's going to SmackDown if he isn't there already. It's pretty sad that we don't even know. I guess technically.
Because he's technically their champion, right?
Yeah. But here's what bugs me. And like, this is something I hope they get away from. And every year I've said it. And every single year they convolute it. They'll draft the champions to opposite shows. I don't think belts should ever come with people to new shows. I don't think champions should be eligible to be drafted.
Yeah, if you're the champion, you're just stuck.
You create the situation where, like, you got to even it out. You know? Why flip Damian Priest and Cody? They've done it in so many other drafts, and I never understood the point. Or, like, worse yet, sometimes they'll draft both champions to one show, and then they'll have to create a title for the other show. Why? Are they afraid of, like, championship lineages? Like, I used to think it was cool to watch a champion and know all the guys who had held the belt before him. I can't do that nowadays because none of the belts are like what they used to be. They're all like new championships they created when they merged other ones.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Yeah, like
maybe they're trying to get rid of like the lineage like section on their website. I don't know, but I don't see the point.
Like the God, Cody's title is now a combination of like the Universal title, the WWE title, which itself was a combination of the old WWE title and the WCW title, and like it's like the most ridiculous family tree that you can think of.
Yeah. It was such a mistake. I mean, they started doing this in 2001. When they introduced all those WCW. For example, Matt, this is something that always irked me. Why combine the WWE and WCW titles? This is really where it started, was when they started doing this, you know? And then just months after combining them, you're going to create a new world title that looks just like the WCW title?
Right. It was like nearly an identical belt.
Yeah, I think the only difference was the logo, right?
I think that's it. And then
And so here's my thing. Like, even if you had decided to combine them to pop a rating on that pay-per-view, the last guy to hold both the WWF and the WCW belts as separate belts at the same time was Triple H. Well, Triple H was your first world champion, and he didn't win anything to get it. So why couldn't you just say he was the last person to hold the world title? At least that gives him a reason to have that belt, and it allows you to continue that lineage. It's just like such common sense stuff that irk me, that they just don't care.
Look who they learned it from.
Who did they learn it from?
Oh, God.
Who did they learn it from?
A
I'll tell you who they didn't being. Learn it from. I'll tell you who they didn't learn it from.
Don't do it.
What's going on, Rat Boy?
Oh, boy.
I'm going to kill my own creation.
Oh, what's going on, everybody?
How y'all doing? Dose of poison. What's going on?
How y'all doing out there? And the video
I was going to be positive tonight, and all I do is find myself ranting while everybody else just listens to me rant.
Yeah, man, you're just like a little cry baby. You need a lollipop or a baby bottle to keep that mouth shut of yours.
FML. What do you got, Rat Boy? Are you in Florida yet?
I'm leaving Saturday night, and I'll be there Sunday. I'll be there for a whole week. Woo!
All right, so the picture of the Performance Center you put up, that you weren't there.
I wasn't there yet. That was last year's picture.
He was working us. He's working the crowd.
Working the gimmick, as The Rock picture. Used to say.
Yeah.
But I'll be there. I'll be there this year. But not on a Tuesday, though. Darn it.
Okay.
And for next Thursday, Howard, you got to find another co-host because I'm not doing your show because I'll be busy Thursday night.
What am I going to do?
Yeah. It's a new era. That means the era in the 60s. That means I'm getting old. I'm down in Florida, retired, and I'm having some good fun down there.
The worst part about the minute that he just wasted is he'll probably be on the show.
Yeah, don't drunk dial me. Well, you know what? Drunk dial me. Go ahead. I would love to have a drunk Rat Boy on the show.
That's just called dialing you.
if I have a chance next Thursday, I will call in.
Don't go out of your way.
Okay. Because my cousin got a lot of plans for me to do down there for my birthday week.
Well, maybe you should go so you can get started.
Nah, not yet.
Go now.
I heard today that they're throwing me a going away party here.
Why? You're only going away for a week.
Right.
My birthday. I ain't going to be here for my birthday.
So it's a birthday party.
It's a going away birthday party, yeah.
Who's throwing you that? Your blind deaf friend?
What?
Who's throwing you that? Your blind friend?
Yeah, my blind friend told me today. The blind friend told me today when I was down there.
The problem with your blind friend, Rat Boy, is they can't see how annoying you are.
They can sure hear him, though.
Yeah.
This blind friend of mine, she loves me to death because I'm always joking around with her. Yeah, I don't put the blind people out of the category of anything. I just put them into it all the time, and they love it. She loves it.
What are you talking about? You don't put them in categories.
Right. When you joke around with her, do you like rearrange her living room when she's when she's away or something?
No.
Oh.
No. Well, the other day, The other day, we went to Walmart. Me, her, and my mom.
Okay, and, you drove.
She did.
I told her, you're driving to Walmart, Dawn. Her name is Dawn. She said, say what? I said, yeah, you're driving.
She's like, you better drive. I'm terrible at night.
Yeah. Unless she went to night school, then she might be all right.
Yeah. Yeah. But
she likes to joke around too. You better watch her mouth too.
Can blind people get migraines? That's got to be the worst.
Yeah, like, right. What do you do?
The sensitivity to light is one thing, you know, but imagine having a headache and you can't even look around. Yeah. All right.
All right.
I got another category I want to jump into here.
About last night.
Because I got to fly through this list in 20 minutes.
I can see what's going to happen, okay? They're going to move Bailey to Raw.
Okay.
Okay, and that belt, whoever wins it,
she's going to go to SmackDown with whoever wins the tournament.
Whoever wins the tournament of Raw is going to go to SmackDown.
Matt, yeah, that's the other thing that they do that I can't stand. They have the champions go to different brands.
Wait a minute.
And then they do that. Hold on, I'm in the middle of talking now. It's my turn. So like they have them just swap belts. Like, all right, forget this lineage. Now Bailey, you give her your title, she gives you hers. And you go about your way.
What's gonna happen is, okay?
Go ahead.
Brock Lesnar's going to show up. Takes that belt and goes to SmackDown. She thinks she's all that, but she's not. Okay. Naomi's going to show up, kick that person's butt. You know, 1, 2, 3, and Naomi will be our SmackDown champion.
Okay.
Okay.
That's how you stake your career on that? On the radio?
Yeah.
Not again.
Yeah. And that's true. Okay.
Rap Boy does not adhere to his gentleman agreements.
He's like the Terry Funk of retirement matches. He just keeps coming back.
Like, yeah. He's like, you can trust his stipulations like you can trust WWE's, you know? Yeah. Okay. So kind of like what I was saying before about the draft and like the champion splitting or whatever, whichever brand Cody and Damian Priest end up on, and I really hope Damian Priest stays on Raw, that title is starting to feel like a real title now because it's changed hands a couple times because I think I see a lot of upside in Damian Priest, and I think he's gonna have to step up in a big way because he's not going to be as big of a name as a lot of his challengers on Raw. And Cody's not going to be there, so the focus will be on Damian Priest as the champion, as the guy. Unless he loses the title right away, which would be stupid.
Yeah, that would be because silly.
It would. I mean, it's obviously a way to get more heat, you know, with Drew McIntyre being from, you know, Scotland, and they're doing Clash of the Castle again for the next show. It's pretty obvious to me that Damian Priest should win that match.
Guess the only way that that's going to work is if they have CM Punk interfere again for whatever their reason is for being obsessed with keeping this feud going, even though Punk's not going to be able to wrestle till what, September?
Yeah. You know, they should have some security footage of CM Punk like attacking Drew McIntyre backstage. That'd be pretty amazing.
And Triple H fearing for his life?
Yeah, like a monitor falls near him or something. Like,
right. A light bulb goes out or something.
Yeah. And then CM Punk sits next to Triple H at the press conference and sees how he's tired and he's pissed off and he works with children.
He's old and frail.
Old and frail. Yeah. So we talked about Damian Priest. So Cody, right? I'm assuming, again, well, Cody is obviously going to be on a different brand from Damian Priest. And he's in a similar situation in that, like, he's going to be kind of flying without a net. You know, there's no Roman Reigns. There's no Rock. He'll probably have Solo coming after him. But again, it's going to be on him to make television compelling. And as popular as he is, I don't know that he's going to be able to make it interesting enough. In and of himself, I think part of what works for Cody is that there's a dynamic enough roster around him that there's plenty of compelling matchups. I don't think SmackDown has like that kind of depth of like main eventers. If he's on SmackDown, I think it's going to be an issue.
So who's his first challenger?
It's going to be LA Knight or AJ Styles, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what it's looking like it's going to be immediately. I'm guessing it'll be AJ just because he's the heel and he's held the belt. He was, ironically enough, the first challenger for Roman when he started, like, you know. He's just kind of a natural guy to throw in there for that. So. I don't know. Like, I would probably... You don't want to start right out with the Bloodline, right?
Right. No, you don't. But would it work if they kind of pulled an old school page and at least briefly for the next couple of months until the Bloodline thing starts to heat up? Do they make Cody Rhodes like an old Ric Flair where he did defend his title against babyfaces and heels? You know,
I mean,
you know, would that work? Would that be compelling enough for, I don't know, for at least 3 or 4 months?
I don't find Cody compelling. I think that's part of the problem for me. I'm very
biased me neither.
About that, but this is why I didn't really want the belt off Roman, because Roman being around less, when he came around, he was interesting.
Yeah. It felt important when he showed up. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Cody's going to command feeling important all the time.
No, especially when he's coming out and doing the same promo every week. And he's too over-the-top goody-goody. Like, I feel like at some point the fans are going to start to turn on that.
That's what happened to him in AEW.
Yeah, it's just too much. Maybe they can bring in that Bobby Agogo or whatever to attack him again.
Anthony Agogo.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. Bobby I knew Agogo. That was all I knew. Bobby's his brother. Okay. Man, we're flying through this stuff. The ugly title belts, Matt.
Yeah.
Do you really think the tag titles are that ugly?
On them.
Do you really think they're that ugly?
There's just, you know what? Maybe they're not quite as, they're not as hideous as I think the WWE title is. But man, I cannot stand having the most prominent feature that your eye is immediately drawn to on the title be the company logo.
Yeah.
I understand that a company wants to put it in there, but it should blend into the belt a little bit better.
It should. Is it better than the Big Penny when they used to have the tag belts with the copper?
Marginally.
Okay.
Not by much. And I mean, the Raw and SmackDown tag team titles were both ugly too, because it was just a recoloring of the Penny.
Yeah. But
no, I mean, overall, I still don't like it. And I don't like the new World Heavyweight Champion, the one that's a year old now, for the same reason. You know, like, just bring back the big gold belt if that's really what you wanted to do. But, you know, like, and I hate to make this comparison, but for a better example of how to work the company's logo into a title, go look at the AEW championship instead.
Yeah.
It's there. it's featured in the center, but it's colored gold the same as the rest of the belt. So it doesn't quite burst forth and smack you in the face quite as hard. Like, I turn the channel on, I know exactly what show I'm watching when this thing comes on. So
yeah, I was hoping, because Cody is supposed to be such a traditionalist, and obviously Triple H is a traditionalist. I was hoping that they would use this as an opportunity to go retro with the belts. They have retro uniforms the teams wear all the time now, you know, like dress like they did in the 70s or 80s. The WWF title, WWE title should be the Eagle belt, you know, the Winged Eagle.
The Winged Eagle, yeah.
And the world title belt should be the one that Ric Flair had.
Yeah, agreed.
They were the belts that, and now, granted, I'm partial to them because they're the belts that were around when I was 12 years old and got into it.
I would take the Attitude Era belt, too. If they weren't going to give us the Winged Eagle, my immediate second choice would be give us the Attitude Era belt. That was just like a kind of a bigger version of that.
Yeah, that's fine. It was certainly less obnoxious. I'm convinced that the only reason that they made the WWE title like they did is so that they can give it to all these teams that win championships, which is something the Phillies won't be doing this year, Howard.
Bryce just hit a 2-run home run, man. Come on.
I know, I'm watching it. I know, but we're in the we're still in the first inning, as Paul Heyman would say.
True, this is true.
Oh boy.
I'm just playing. No, but I'm convinced that the only reason that they made the belts like that is so that when they give them to the teams when they win, they're walking around with the WWE logo.
You know, going back, you know, talking about how the titles used to look, my probably all-time favorite title is the television title that Arn Anderson used to carry. I thought that TV title looked good. And honestly, I do like the old 10 pounds of gold that Ric Flair had before the big gold belt.
Oh, yeah, the one that Nick Aldis had.
Yes.
Yeah. I always liked that belt.
Simple. It's, you know, like you said, I don't need a glaring. I know I'm watching WWE. I know I'm watching AEW. I know what I'm watching. You don't have to keep reminding me on every single title that I see.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, like, for example, Cody Rhodes many, many years ago, he took those ugly Intercontinental belt designs. And he cut a promo, basically, where he said he was going back to the old, and he brought out the old Intercontinental belt, which looked amazing. That might have been one of my favorite belts of all time.
That is a very cool title, yes.
But it's like, for some reason, the Vince McMahon era, like, I couldn't decide, what were they more hell-bent on changing? The way titles looked away from, you know, getting them away from how they used to look, or getting rid of Jim Ross? Like, which one was more important? Because they kept coming back to the originals and then kept changing them. Oh, my God, the Rock commercial. Have you guys seen this Rock commercial?
That's great.
I've seen it a bunch of times. Time.
Oh, it's always on the Phillies games, always.
Oh, I don't watch them.
No.
Yeah. That explains it. That's amazing.
There you go. That's why you haven't seen it.
Did you see that commercial?
Is this the one where, like, he's talking to, like, the young, like the younger version of himself?
Shows yeah, with the
yes, with the fanny pack on,
with
yes.
The fanny pack, yeah. I've seen it.
That's great. Rat Boy, did you see it?
No, but I saw something last night, and I'm right.
Oh, boy.
I just asked about the fanny pack commercial.
Right.
No, I didn't see that one.
Okay.
I did.
Yeah. Yeah. See, okay. So what I would do, back to the belts, you know, I would have the Winged Eagle belt. No, this is just me, obviously, and people have their own preferences. I would have the Winged Eagle belt. I would have the big gold belt. I would have the original Intercontinental. I would do either the United States or the TV title for the other one, the original one. I would have I used to even like if you remember back in the day, like the tag team belts for WWE, they were different. Like you and your partner would have like slightly different belts. It was cool. They don't do that anymore. Now everything's got to match, except for the actual partners themselves. Everything's got to match.
There's one thing about these belts here, okay?
Yeah.
That they gave out last night. How come they don't spin like John Cena?
Because that's stupid.
Oh my God, because it was awful.
That was a terrible idea.
You never know. R-Truth might come out with that idea.
Please, no.
How he spins.
Do you guys think WWE has too many belts? Or are we about right for that many? Okay. Yeah.
Way too many. Like,
I was thinking about it, and I've been thinking about this a lot, and I always go back and forth on it, but I think the answer is they need one world champion across all three shows. Get rid of, okay, so you have the one world champion across all three shows. You merge the IC, the US, and the NXT heavyweight title, the three of them. You merge as a secondary title across all three shows. You get rid of the North American title. The women, they only need one women's champion. Honestly, they don't even need tag teams because they don't even use them. But if you want to do that, that's fine. I actually think it would be more beneficial to do it like AEW does it, where you have a women's world title and you have a women's secondary title.
I think that's a better idea because then you don't have to worry about establishing tag teams and keeping people sure. together.
Right. You could have like a women's television title right. and feature a woman on the right. show, right. you know, every week.
They should come out with another women's title.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line.
Well, I mean, get rid of the tag belts then because there's too many. And the other thing is ironic with AEW, the TNT title is defended on TBS and the TBS title is defended on TNT.
Well, they had a draft, and them two got drafted to the other channels.
Yeah,
so
they didn't have a draft, did they?
I don't know.
I thought it was just about who could
switch, the show switch channels. That's what the issue was.
Yeah.
Because Dynamite was on TNT originally,
right? And Collision is on TNT now.
Yes.
Even though Collision has the TBS champion. Yeah, I mean they didn't have a draft. Per se, what they did was they had CM Punk sit in the middle of the room and say, I like you, I don't like you. And that's how they made the rosters.
Right.
Which really, they should do the WWE draft that way. It'd be pretty amazing. If so, you just had
pick
CM
a wrestler
Punk say,
and be like, just
well, CM Punk.
People you like.
Yeah.
Well, could they have captains for Raw and SmackDown and they choose their teams?
Yeah, like I take Charles Barkley.
Right. They're passing the ball all the time.
Yeah. I would like that. I would like that. It also, like, gets rid of, like, the stupid... Well, I mean, they'd still work in stupid, you know? Like that year they had Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman making the picks for their team, for their sides, and they drafted Paul Heyman to Eric Bischoff's side, and he quit and left the company for 10 years. You know?
Yeah, that's silly.
Yeah. But I guess they were looking for a reason for him to quit. But it's silly to think that the general manager for the show would have to give up his general manager to managership in order to go to the other show where he's doing nothing.
Yeah, like that. The logic, the leaps of logic that you have to do. Now, you can't make sense out of it.
You really can't. You know what it is, Matt? It was explained to me a long time ago by somebody in the company. I can't argue with it at all. At some point, they stopped worrying about our generation following along and said, we got to cater to these kids because they're the future. And now, as a result, for many, many years, they did Sesame Street-style programming. They're only just now starting to realize that those kids from 10 years ago are now old enough to see blood.
It's good they finally realize that at some point.
Yeah, I know. And cursing. Cursing's great as long as you're Cody Rhodes, The Rock, or I guess that's it. Cody Rhodes or The Rock. Everybody else is PG. Don't forget. They literally passed around that memo.
Wait, what? They're not cursing around these days.
They passed around a memo around this?
Yeah, to remind everyone that they're still PG. Meanwhile, The Rock is out there effing and S and everything.
Yeah.
And Cody's calling him a bitch.
They should at least be PG-13. And I'm not talking about the old tag team. I'm talking about the rating.
I mean, if I you always
Drew
said...
McIntyre, how do you take that? Cody can curse, but I can't? I'd be like,
it's stupid, you know?
It's ridiculous.
You know who else is cursing now? But she done it in sign language last night? Piper. She done it when she was walking through the ring.
Okay.
She put her thumb to her nose and started wiggling her fingers.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a big curse. Anyway, you know what I was thought they should do? And like, this actually works out perfectly with Raw shifting over to Netflix. SmackDown, the show that's on Friday night at 8 o'clock and watched primarily by young children, should be the PG show. And Raw, especially now that it won't really have a rating because it's on Netflix, should be the show that's a little more mature.
That's a little more attitude error-ish.
Yes. And NXT should be the show with all the great matches. There should be three totally different shows if you're going to do three totally different brands. Not the same show, but we're going to change the color of the ropes.
Why can't they just make all of them good?
Why can't they? I don't know. You can't.
Why can't they?
Making all the shows good.
Good is such a relative term. Like, they could have a good PG show. You know what I mean? Like, they could have something that really appeals to kids on Friday night and still give you a really good show on Monday.
You really want, like, the bloodline on a show that's aimed at kids when... Like,
no, I would move them around.
Right, yeah, when the head of the bloodline now is a dude who, like, jams his thumb into people's throats to, like, attempt to murder them, I guess.
Right, to crush their esophagus.
Yeah,
like I said, I got a list of people I want to jam my thumb in their throat, you know?
Oh, yeah.
One of them's on the line with us,
right? I was going to say, are any of them on the call right now?
Oh, yeah, I know that person.
Yeah.
But there's one thing, okay? Years ago, when I started, right, what happened that I said, please don't try this at home?
Right. Which never makes sense either.
Now you got it, you know, everybody's trying this stuff at home, you know?
Oh, my. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. They said, don't try this at home. And then followed that up with a commercial for Wrestling Buddies. And Twitch.
Yeah, right.
That you can defend in your neighborhood. Yeah. Yeah, that was always like a wink and a nod kind of thing. They didn't want... Because the one kid like broke like his little brother's neck or something. Didn't he? They were like wrestling at home. And it's like, yeah, it's very dangerous. But... You know, tackle football is dangerous, and I used to play that without any pads with the neighborhood kids.
Yeah, in a field full of rocks and glass and everything else.
My friends, now I didn't do this. It was the dumbest thing ever. My friends used to have what they called rock fights.
Oh, yeah.
They would throw rocks at each other.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Wow.
Rap Boy's been in some rock fights.
No, you can tell.
I think he's lost more of them than he
put it this way. Whichever way ground, we would grow. Okay?
How stupid is that?
We could throw loom, cans, and all. Whatever was on the ground, we used to throw them at them. Because whatever was on the ground got everybody else's DNA on it, you know. And that's it.
What do you mean? Got everybody else's DNA on it.
DNA, fingerprints, and all. They don't know who do that.
Yeah.
Wait, so the kids are masturbating onto the rocks?
Like, what are they?
You never know.
Is that out of the McMahon playbook?
You never know. You never know, man. Never know. Could be true.
Probably not, but could be.
Could be. Probably not. Well,
you see a can, right?
Rocks to the fight, you know.
Yeah, but if you see a rock or a can on the street, you're gonna pick it up. And you're gonna throw it at the person, right? Pick the person, knock them out, go to the hospital. They take the can, and they got somebody else's fingerprints on it.
Don't throw rocks at a guy holding a machine gun.
I think it's time we stop talking about wrestling and just start doing just entertaining topics every week.
The first hour could be wrestling, and the second hour we could do whatever we want. How's that?
Well, why don't we do whatever we want the first hour, and then the second hour people will tune out.
I don't know, you know. And
I don't know, this whole wrestling thing, it's like
it's a circus out there.
To steal a line from Vince McMahon, it's all become passe.
Wrestling is all nothing but a circus now.
Yeah. Well, I would like to introduce a new concept for the show. Actually, it's something that I used to do years ago with my old co-host. And it is overly negative, and you don't have to bring one every week. But I would like to propose introducing a scumbag of the week.
Yes!
We can vote on this. Do you remember Scumbag of the Week? You remember that, Rat Boy?
Yes, I do.
Yep, I used to have a Scumbag of the Week, and we'd all go around and just, we would, you don't have to, again, if there's nothing that pisses you off. I have a great scumbag for this week.
Uh-oh.
Who do you got?
Okay, so our former provider, Blog Talk Radio, as you know, we've had lots of issues with them, going back a number of years, really, important shows, interviews that we've lost just because the service chose not to work. And I'd have to fight just to get my money back because we're paying for something that didn't work when we needed it the most. How many interviews did we lose, Kathy? I mean, we lost Medusa. We lost to Jake the Snake Roberts one time. We just, you know, it was just awful. And then, like, we started getting to where, was it in December, I think, right? Where we went like 3 or 4 weeks where there wasn't a show because, like, just every single week it wasn't working.
It wasn't working, yeah.
You remember this. This is part of the reason why we switched it over to StreamYard. I miss having the phone number. I miss because, like, we lost a number of our special needs callers who were still trying to dial that number.
And we, we have special needs callers that still call in.
We do. We do, but we lost a number of them. You know, and we did. And, like, no matter how many banners I put up talking about the website to call in, or, you know, no matter how many times I mention it during any particular show, call VOC.com, by the way, from the incognito browser of your phone, your tablet, your computer. How many people every week just write me and say, like, oh, well, it didn't work. Well, you didn't use the incognito browser. That's why it didn't work. It's not that hard. You know, but like I literally there's a chat with the listeners that I have where they do this with me every week.
And it's easy.
It's so easy. Rat Boy can do it. But that anyway, that's not the point.
All call VOC. Just push that and it will take you right to the show.
All right. Yeah. So I just muted him. So anyway, I was saying,
thank God.
The thing is, he can unmute himself. That's what's funny about it. Is it StreamYard?
Don't say that.
Don't tell him that.
He's unmuted himself already. He knows how to do it.
I'm not that stupid now. Come on, man.
He's not that stupid. I didn't say he was that stupid.
Everybody thinks I'm stupid, but I'm not stupid.
No,
I'm
you're not too smart,
everybody.
So anyway.
That's why I'm the goat of the show.
So anyway. Blog Talk Radio, okay, so they cost us a number of shows. You remember I would get like a month for free. At one point I had like 3 months for free because they were never giving us shows, and I had to argue with them. I had to lower their rating on the Better Business Bureau to an F to get them to respond, but they responded every time. when I did stuff like that, you know? Well, so do you remember how I had all those shows on there and I was like, I got to copy all these and I got to save them to a hard drive. And it took a long time, but I really did it, you know? When I went to cancel the account, probably about a month ago, I wasn't allowed to downgrade the account because before I did that, I had to go in and delete it so that there was less than 20 hours of content. So essentially, they're forcing me to pay for storage. Right? Do you follow me so far?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have... I started the show in 2009. And this is not the only show on the network over the years. There have been hundreds of shows on the network. We're talking tens of thousands of hours of content. So I'm not allowed to cancel the account until I get it below 20 hours. And they don't have a way to bulk delete them either, Matt. You have to go in and click each one. There's like 20 or 30 on a page. You have to click each one. Then you click delete. Then you click confirm. Then you get the spinning circle of death for a minute. Then it brings up another page of 20 or 30. And I have to keep paying as long as we're over 20 hours. So do you know what I did?
I switched it
to a credit card that I never use, and I put that credit card on hold. And they tried 7 days in a row to charge that card. 7 days in a row, I had charges from them that didn't go through because I put the card on hold. And on the seventh day, they deleted the account without me having to go through and delete each one.
There you go. So they do have the power.
Scumbag of the week. They are horrible people. They used to have a live chat for customer service. They got rid of it. Because then they have to resolve people's issues.
Yeah, that's red flag number one, when they don't actually have people that you can speak to.
Yeah. Well, you know, they'll email you. There's different characters. They each have a persona. It's funny. You have the girl who's always very apologetic, and she'll see what she can do. You have the one guy is like, you know, I hear you. I'm gonna talk to my boss, but I need you to be patient until then. And he asks you to be patient. You might not hear from him for 3 months, and you'll continue to get charged even though you have an issue, but he needs you to be patient with him.
Yeah, no thank you.
Yeah.
Just fix the issue.
Yeah. Right, I've been patient, now just fix it.
Like, I literally almost canceled a credit card just to get rid of Blog Talk Radio. When they stopped charging me, though, I figured it was over. Now the account is deleted, so. What a pain in the ass. I took everything I needed from that account. Like, they didn't... Yeah. Scumbags. Absolute scumbags.
All right, I'll back you up on that one.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else have a scumbag to nominate, or is this a...
Yeah, no, I think I have one, and...
Okay.
It's a relatively newer story to... the South Jersey area, at least. And again, innocent until proven guilty. But there's a certain mayor down further south in New Jersey that has been charged with, you know, child abuse and beating his daughter.
Yeah.
With a broom handle, punching her in the chest. His wife is involved in the abuse to the point to where she went to the school principal of the high school, reported it, then the principal went to the superintendent, who happened to be this girl's mom, and said, hey, your daughter's saying she's been abused. And subsequently, the mayor has been, the school principal has been relieved of her duties. The superintendent has not yet been removed, and the mayor has not been removed from his office yet, because he's done nothing there's no political corruption involved. So therefore, he's still allowed to remain in office and do his daily duties.
Oh,
but you put your hands on a kid and make sure.
Sorry.
Well, somebody didn't want Blog Talk Radio to get the Scumbag of the Week, it sounds like. Because that's some pretty serious stuff.
It is.
Yeah.
I've been following it, too.
What's going on, Tora?
What's going on?
Hey, baby cakes.
Hey, honey. How's everyone?
What's up, sugar britches?
Yeah. Yeah, Freddy.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
Good.
Just a little bit worn out, but I'm okay. I'm here.
Why are you worn out?
Yeah, I did a lot today. Went food shopping and stuff.
Oh, that's the worst. I like food shopping at the local pizzeria. You can get enough for a whole week.
Yeah, we just came back from the steakhouse.
Nice.
Yeah, I had steak and shrimp, baked potato, and a salad.
How do you eat your steak? Well, yeah. Ketchup, I hope.
Not ketchup. A1 steak sauce.
Oh, you gotta do the ketchup, and it's gotta be well done.
Yeah, and my daughter had a.
You want that burnt layer? Singer.
Huh?
You want that burnt layer on your steak? You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll put honey mustard on my steak.
Honey mustard.
Honey mustard. Ew.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. It's a good place. They've been there since 1964.
What's it called again?
The Best Steakhouse.
Well, you can't argue with that.
It's right around across you from the Fox Theater.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite places.
Oh, yeah. People go there before the show across the street, and they come there to eat breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Yeah, they got good steaks, good burgers. They got good food there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it good?
Oh, yeah. I spent, $52 just for three people?
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
We got some sad news. We got some sad news.
What's that?
Herzog had passed away this morning.
Who did?
Whitey Herzog.
Whitey Herzog.
Yeah, he was the pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals. Way back.
Do you guys know what she's saying? I'm only getting like
Whitey Herzog.
Whitey yes. Herzog from St. Louis Cloud.
No, St. Louis from St. Louis Cardinals.
Cardinals.
Baseball.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
He was a manager of the baseball team years ago.
Did he play with Mark McGwire?
Way before Mark McGwire.
He was a baseball player.
He was way before Mark McGwire.
Yep. Okay, I got Mark McGwire's autograph collection somewhere around here.
Do you?
When he was a rookie.
Those were the good old days when you could put anything in your body and go out and play.
Yeah, he was 92 years old.
As long as you didn't bet on it. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Helen, do you know Whitey Herzog?
Whitey Herzog, the old St. Louis manager, passed away.
Yeah, he died.
Yep.
Yeah. I heard they're going to have some, like, a live Cardinals release at the funeral.
Not release, but...
Release 92 Brady. Cardinals?
Yeah, is Brady that what
it was? That's how old he was, 92, I think, yeah.
Oh, wow. See, yeah, like being involved in baseball, that's a pretty unstressful life, you know?
Yeah.
Not like talking about wrestling.
Right.
Which way different than that one.
Ever.
See, you just got it. So,
all right, Tora.
Drake, who was, what y'all was talking about earlier, something about Drake of the Day or something? Or whatever it was.
What?
You were saying something about Jerk of the Day or something?
Scumbag of the Day.
Scumbag of the Day. I thought you said Jerk Off on the Day. I got you.
No.
Do you have a scumbag?
Do I have one? Yes. Actually, I had two of them.
Two?
Yes.
It's a twofer.
One that's a bully at my daughter's school. Two.
Okay. Don't say his name.
Dustin.
Or her. You've gone full circle. Like, from last week, you were worried about Dustin being upset. So you're not talking to Dustin anymore?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope, not anymore.
Well, obviously Dustin listens if you get upset at you.
Well, I think he's not going to listen because he doesn't even call. So.
Yeah, but I think he listens. Otherwise,
I was very shocked what happened yesterday. I was really shocked what Rhea Ripley did.
Was it Dustin?
No. No.
Or did Dustin injure Rhea Ripley? Is that why? No, is that how she got hurt?
What I thought happened was he kidnapped Rhea Ripley and threw her in his trunk. Well, his mom's trunk. And then he dressed up like Rhea Ripley and went in the ring and surrendered the title, pretended to have a shoulder injury.
Oh, is that the swerve that's coming? Oh, that's a good one.
Rhea Ripley's fine.
Oh, very nice. That's a great idea.
He's been practicing for months on social media pretending to be Rhea Ripley.
That's great.
It really is creative storytelling. The Triple H era is top notch.
Nothing better.
Like, it's such intelligent stuff, you know?
Weird stuff, but strange.
Next week, they're going to play the video on Raw of when Dustin helped Saraya beat up Alberto Del Rio.
Oh, that'll be good.
But wait, how about the one where he took Seth Rollins' belt? The title.
He won it. Yeah, yep. Well, that wasn't... WWE never gave him credit for that, you know? It was like in the middle of Bob Backlund's reign when he lost the title, and then they quietly had him win it back and acted like the change never happened. Like that. That's what happened with Dustin.
I had a close encounter with him last week.
Is it okay that I'm telling all these Dustin stories? You look uncomfortable.
I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm fine. I'm just full of mistake today.
Gotcha.
Woo. He's going underneath of Peel Piper now.
Peel Piper?
Yeah,
Piper. Roddy Piper.
Peel Piper.
Huh? He said Peel Piper.
Piper Niven?
What happened with that? Everybody was at the convention, right? I said, oh, let me get her, right? I got a few matches for her, right? I said, are you at the convention? What? I said, are you at the convention in Philadelphia? No, I'm in Texas.
That's what he said?
I said, okay. I blocked him. It was a fake account.
Kathy, isn't the show so much better since we started talking about Dustin?
There's just so many stories he told us constantly.
Yeah.
Him being an undercover drug agent.
I don't remember that. He said that?
Oh yeah, remember he said he got shot?
He got shot about 5 or 6 times.
I know he accidentally put a nail through his dad's leg with a nail gun. I remember that.
No. He said he was beat up because he was an undercover drug agent.
Okay.
Then he said that he were injured, but he's going to be out for like 5 months. He said solo injured him. Oh, crap. Come on now. Ask him better head on lettuce. No.
Do you remember the time that he got shot in the face by a black man?
That's the one I'm talking about.
He broke his neck and his shoulder in a car accident when he totaled his Ferrari. I remember that. fortunately,
so
Fortunately, Stock Images was there to document with the picture of the shoulder and the neck and the Ferrari.
But if you go on his Instagram, it say,
what's his Instagram? I can't find his Instagram. Where is it?
It's because you got you blocked.
I think he got you blocked.
Why would he block me? I never did anything to him.
Look at his Instagram.
Is that 14268? No, that's not him. That's a different Dustin. Tora, have you ever met Dustin in person?
No. If I did, I probably would have kicked him in the damn face or something.
Because the guy that I saw was really tall. I thought he's probably too tall to be Dustin.
And Dustin is chubby. He's fat.
He's chubby with a chubby face.
Right. Chubby face with a chubby ass body.
He looked like Spanky from the wrestling.
From the mouth of bitch.
He's like a chipmunk mouse face. Or some shit. Whew. Jesus. Yeah, he got me hurt.
Hopefully Dustin doesn't take some of his show travel budget money to sue me. Because I feel like we're all coming after him pretty hard.
Well, he just, you know, that's just him. You know, he figured that he wanna lie about everything else like he did last week about you. You know? And I'm thinking to myself, like, what the heck? And then
what did he lie to me last? How did he lie about me last week?
Yeah. And then Kathy said, this is what she said.
Like circles, Howard. This is like insane.
I have no idea. We've lost control here.
Right.
It becomes like a lucid dream.
Right.
It's like a lucid dream, all this. Like
Right, we're on board the Titanic and reliving that nightmare again, and we can't steer away from the iceberg. We're still going to hit it.
Well, it's like a fire dream.
I tell you what, Brady. Let me say one quick thing, okay? Mm-hmm. Dustin, listen to me, okay? I'll be at the Hard Rock Cafe in Tampa Saturday night. Meet me there at 12 o'clock exactly. Okay, at the grand piano. I will see the grand piano is right there.
What do you think if he shows up?
We're going face to face, brother.
Snap is right.
Snap, crackle.
Tell you what, Dustin, you're my scumbag of the week, Dustin.
All right.
Come and get me, brother. I'm ready for you.
Yeah. I think I'm good, Howard. Anything else for this week?
I think we've run the show into the ground, Brady.
We totaled the car. The engine.
Right. We've totaled the car. We've gotten in a rental car, and we totaled that one, too.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm taking them both away.
And that boy's under the hood trying to connect the wires.
Right. We can't even Uber home at this point, Brady.
No, because my account's been closed because right. I have that boy in tour with me.
What'd you say? I thought he ain't saying nothing back.
I said I can't get an Uber, tour.
Mm-mm. No. If you can't do that, then something is wrong.
Exactly.
Right. See, that's what I'm saying.
This is what you have to do. You have to check yourself, check your bottom lip, check below it, and then go underneath it.
Did you say check your bottom?
Your bottom lip and underneath it.
Okay.
That's how you do it.
All right.
Are y'all getting rain up there yet?
No, we had rain the other night. We're good.
We had rain earlier today.
I think it's supposed to rain tomorrow, actually.
Yeah, it's supposed to.
Yep.
Yeah. Ooh, excuse me. We put out a little bit of rain today, but what happened to it? Weatherman, you're scumbags too. Boom.
All right. Rat Boy Tora, thank you for tuning in. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm not going to be around. I'm not going to be around. Everybody got with me. Happy birthday.
Yay. Happy birthday, Rat Boy.
This is my cat. On your 21st.
Wow. He said hello. That's Frankie.
That's messed up. Howard, that means when I first talked to Rat Boy, he was in his 40s.
Wow.
The first time I met Rat Boy.
Yep.
Wow. That's a long time.
He was almost my age.
You've known Rat Boy far too long.
Well, he still looked good for his age. I give him credit for that. But guess
what? Thank you.
You're welcome, honey.
You look great. You look great for 90, Rat Boy.
90.
60. I'm sorry, 60. Rat Boy, okay. You're 60 this year?
60 this year, yep. 60 years.
You're going to catch
me. I was born in the year when the Wawa came out. Happy birthday, Wawa, today.
Oh, that's great.
Well, the main thing is that happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Okay. Rat Boy, take care, brother.
Rat Boy.
She just unmuted herself. They're out of control. Rat Boy.
They're out of control.
Happy birthday, Rat Boy.
Thank you, and I will call in next Tuesday for short, and I have to leave.
All right. So all that was for nothing because you're calling in anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I call in. You know, just say hi and bye, and that's it. And I'm doing good where I'm at. Woo!
All right, there you go. All right, Howard. All right, we're going to walk away from this fiery wreck. Hopefully they can't read the license plate or the VIN number.
Hopefully not. Hopefully they don't violate any easy toll passes or anything.
I'm sure we did. I do need to seriously rethink the way I do this show. It's missing something. It is. All right, brother. So, what do you got going on this week?
Thursday night, WCW Retro 8 o'clock. We'll be going back to the year 2011. Talking all the happenings in and around the world of professional wrestling in 2011.
Oh, nice. That was a unification year. They unified the world and the WWE title.
Yes.
Before they separated them
again.
Yeah. Exactly. Sounds great. So 2011, and you guys can check out that as well as all the other great shows on docnation.com. Just be sure to check it out. Find us on your favorite podcast provider, whether that's Spotify or iTunes or Odyssey or whatever the case may be. We're on all of them, so be sure to check us out on there. That's going to do it for this week on In the Room. Thank you to everybody for tuning in. Thank you to the callers. Thank you to the best crew I could ever ask for. ECWA Pretzelmania returns. That's Pretzelmania 6, the ultimate challenge. Saturday, April 27th, 7 Eastern, Morganville, New Jersey. Tickets and information, ECWAwrestling.com. I'm going to try and get an ECWA guest on for next week to plug the show. But either way, yeah, Pretzelmania, be sure to check that out. And be sure to check out all the great things that are available on docnation.com. Everybody take care. Be good to each other. Love you all very much. Bye-bye.
Total Package, Lex Luger. You're listening to the VOC Nation. Don't miss out.
VOC Nation's own Stro Maestro suffered a major medical and financial catastrophe this year. From the VOC Nation family, to all of you, please continue to pray for Stro Maestro for his continued recovery. You can also donate to his cause. PayPal.me/PalpaStro. The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Check out In the Room
every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Kazzy Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then we got pregnant.
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into, like, snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Yo, this is Jerry Stein of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs here. You get ready to get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby.
VOC Nation is one of the longest-running wrestling podcast networks, having started way back in 2010. VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include former backstage interviewer from both AWA and WWE, Ken Resnick, former WCW performer The Maestro, former Impact performer Wes Crisco, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor Brady Hicks, and former Philadelphia radio personality Bruce Works. Archive free content includes past interviews with huge names like Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura, Kurt Angle, Jimmy Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Sting, Mick Foley, Joey Styles, Howard Finkel, and so many more. Listen live at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all the podcasts by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. And be sure to follow these guys on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Phil Apter has been in the pro wrestling business for over 50 years.
Hey, Tony here with Arn Anderson. Arn, first of all, your height and weight.
6'1", 255.
And now subscribers to VOC Nation Premium get exclusive access to Bill Apter's archived audio footage.
And where's your hometown?
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay, and give us something about your back. First of all, your relationship to Ole Anderson.
Ole is my...
Subscription to VOC Nation Premium starts at just $3 a month and includes commercial-free audio and video versions of our top podcasts.
Okay, we're speaking here with the manager of the World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, Tarzan Tyler and Luke Graham, and he's sort of glowing tonight about a new prospect we haven't heard of yet.
And for just $9 a month, Apter's archives are all yours.
Would you tell us who this new prospect
is? Well, I'll tell you, Bill, I've searched the world, and I finally found a true world champion. I finally found...
What's your opinion of Ivan Koloff winning the title from Bruno Sammartino?
Well, I think, I don't know what to say, but I want to say one thing. Bruno was a hell of a champion.
Hear exclusive interviews with the greatest performers of all time.
This is Bill Apter, and once again, we're speaking here with Bruno Sammartino. Bruno, first of all, how did you and Bruiser lose that title to the Valiants?
Well, actually, it was a very unusual loss, if you want to call it a loss.
Did Brennan have anything to do?
Well, yes, but the whole thing is this, that the rules, as I always understood them, was that the title could only be lost by pin or submission, which is the same rules as my title, the World Wrestling Federation. That night, it was...
To sign up, it's very simple. Head to premium.vocnation.com or go to patreon.com/vocnation. VOC Nation takes you behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history.
each and every Thursday night. Check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro. Talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out. VOCNation.com. WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation radio network.
This is Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the VOC Nation.